Good morning. Do you ever speak to yourself? Do you ever ask yourself questions? Well, I'm glad I'm not the only one. I do. And one of the questions I was asking myself the other day was, why do you write so many scriptures down? And the answer was, because if I'm left to my own devices, I will just start to speak. Some of it will make sense and much of it won't. And ever since I can remember going back as a youngster, and especially when I started work, I was so nosy. Why are you doing that? And my granddaughter's just the same. Oh, it's like, why? Everything is why. And I used to be very, very similar. But this is when I was an adult or teenager. And I would be very, very nosy. And so often, for me, I would speak about subjects I didn't know much about. I would just know a little bit about it, enough to get me in trouble. And as I'm looking through scripture, as I'm being challenged, one of the things, we know this about each other, Susan and I, we both study differently. Susan likes to be quiet, I like noise. I can sit in a cafe with lots of cups and voices and I can still study and hear, hopefully, what the Lord is saying to me. And as I have been looking over these last months and really had this sense in my heart that that message was, it's time to take back what the enemy have stolen. And I hope some of you really grab hold of this, because as I look through my Christian walk, I was just reminded, as I know that Emma has a birthday, and I'm reminded that she must have been in her 20s when I first knew Emma. And the gospel is still the same, isn't it? Today, yesterday, and forever. And as I look back at my life, one of the things that saddens me in church life is this. The people I see that have been hurt by church, the people I see that have been disillusioned by false teaching, the people that I now see who are being undermined and they're in mental and emotional turmoil because they've walked away from God. But God hasn't walked away from them, has he? And that's one of the things that really struck me. And it's not about me saying, you know, you need to get back on straight street. It's about me saying to people that I meet, you know, God is still the same. He's the same God. It's his people that let you down. God doesn't. And as I look at the ministry of grace, I look back at some of the years and think, well, what is it about my preaching, our ministry, that sometimes people choose not to sit under it? And I've looked at God's word and gone, well, it's not the way I articulate, because I read scripture, it must be God's word. And it was highlighted to me, I won't mention names, but there was an individual that I have a good relationship with. I haven't spoken to him for a while personally because he's in America. But there was a time where, you know, we would FaceTime and I'd be like a spiritual father to him and he'd be like a spiritual son. And we would weep together because we experienced the same heart. And there came a point where I didn't hear anything. And I'm going, well, why? What have I done? And then I found out that he's left his wife and he has a girlfriend. You know what? There are times that you have to say nothing. But what you represent speaks loud. Because it's Christ in us. So sometimes it's not what we've said. It's not what we haven't said. It's not what we've done. It's not what we haven't done. It's the fact that we believe the truth of God's word, doesn't it? Don't we? It's only taken me 18 years, Nigel, but I have a title. I have a title. It's time to speak up. Most weeks, Nigel has to text me or email me and say, what's the title? 18 years later, I finally got there, Nigel. I can't guarantee it'll be next week, but for today, it's time to speak up. And I'm grateful, as I was reminded about our 18th year anniversary. You see, I don't keep anniversaries. I don't look at timetables. I don't look at a Bible calendar and say, oh, today is the day that we celebrate Pentecost. Of course, I know about Easter and I know about Christmas, but all the other dates I don't know. I just know that God's word is the same. And I know that there's times where we as individuals have been silent about what God is saying to us. And there's times as we look in the world where we don't want to rock the boat. Or is it just me? We were really pleasantly surprised last week. We had the opportunity to go to an Anglican church with our family. and the family of my grandson and my great-grandson. My grandson was being christened and my great-grandson was being christened. But what I was surprised about was the truth that was ministered in that church. It was a different way, a different format, a different way of doing things. But there was a truth that I hadn't experienced at a christening before, where the person leading the service said, and there will come a day where you can make a choice for yourself to follow Jesus. And Jesus, Jesus, Jesus was on the lips all the time. And in fact, it was so prevalent that my granddaughter said, I want to be baptized. I think she just wanted the service. But nothing is wasted. It's time to speak up. I just want to read some portions of scripture to us. And I want to hopefully encourage us. You see, Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. And this is why scripture is so difficult at times, because it goes on to say, anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. But if we're not careful, we miss out the we bit. We will come. And when we look at the we, it's the presence of the Holy Spirit that comes to dwell within us, to encourage us and enable us. So as I've been looking through scripture and praying about my responsibilities, it's time to speak up. There's a time to be silent, the Bible says, and there's a time to speak. There's a time to be quiet and there's a time to be loud. And I want to suggest, as we look at this whole area of taking back what the enemy has stole, there's times where we need to say enough is enough. No, I'm not having it. I belong to the Lord. You are my King. You are my Savior. You are my Redeemer. I've been purchased. It's time to speak it out at times. Even if you're the only person in the room where you can look at yourself in the mirror and say, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. What, me? Yes, you. It's okay to talk to yourself. In Leviticus 9, it says this. On the eighth day, Moses summoned Aaron. Now, there is a reason for me reading these scriptures. They're not just random. There is a point. And I want to encourage you with that point. Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. He said to Aaron, take a bull, a calf for your sin offering and a ram for your burnt offering, both without defect, and present them before the Lord. Then say to the Israelites, take a male goat for a sin offering, a calf and a lamb, both a year old and without defect, for the burnt offering. And an ox and a ram for the fellowship offering. Now, aren't you blessed that the only offering we ask is a praise offering, isn't it? An offering of praise, because everything else was accomplished through Jesus Christ. And a ram, a sacrifice before the Lord, together with a grain offering mixed with olive oil. For today the Lord will appear to you. They took the things Moses commanded them to do in front of the tent of the meeting, and the entire assembly came near and stood before the Lord. Then Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded you to do, so that the glory of the Lord may appear to you. Now, I read all of that to simply say, when God says it, he says it for a reason. We don't just speak dead words. You know, when we come to church, I used to be in a position at times where I'd be disillusioned and I'd feel deflated and I'd think, oh, church again. That was many years ago. But now I go, Lord, what can I give? Lord, who can I bless? And when we speak words, it's what the Lord has asked us to do. And one of the things when we look at this whole area is the time to speak out. What I suggest we do is we know our subject before we speak. Know what it is you're talking about before you utter it. Because I believe we're going to be in a time where we're going to be challenged in a way that we've never been challenged before. Let me give you an illustration or a true story. There was a young woman in London this week. and she's preaching on the streets, and to give her a due, she had a microphone and she was going for it. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus is the only way. And then there's some other religious people beside her, and she called out the false religion in front of these men. And she stood on the word, and the police came up and they started to question her. And she said, I know my rights. This is a Christian country. I'm a Christian individual. Jesus Christ is allowed to be spoken about, and I'm going to talk about him, and you're not going to stop me. And there was such a fervor within her, the police just walked away. But in the past, we as Christians, I've not been called to stand on a pulpit in the middle of Times Square unless God changes his mind. But some people have. And she stood her ground and she said, it's time to speak up. And it is time to speak up. And there'll be a time in our community, but we need to know our subject. If you're going to talk to a political audience, if you're going to talk about sex and gender, we need to know what it is we're talking about. When we talk about love, we need to understand what that love is that the Bible talks about. When we talk about grace, what is that grace? When we talk about faith, what is it we're putting our faith in? And I suggest that as we look through Scripture, the faith that we've been given is faith in what the Bible teaches us. It's faith in what the doctrine of the word has given us. It's faith in what the apostles expanded for us. It's faith in what the Holy Spirit reveals to us. Yes? It's not just our opinion. And so that when we strike up a conversation, I want to equip us for such a time as this to know the subject in which you're speaking about, whether it's your faith, whether it's the apologetic, whether it's to do with what's happening in the world, conflicts and non-conflicts. Know your subject before you articulate in conversation. In Joshua 6:20, we are familiar with the story of walking around the walls. Yes, of Jericho? Walking around the walls. And then there was a point where they shouted and the walls came down. And when we look at this portion of Scripture, we can take a message of it all on its own. There is a time to be silent and there is a time to shout. You know, I've said this before, but I can't keep secrets because I have a loud voice. Even when I'm whispering, it's loud, so I have no secrets. So you know what's going on. There is a time coming for us to be silent and there's a time coming for us to shout. And when we see injustice, we should shout. When we see tragedy, when we see poverty, when we see the church preaching a false gospel, we should say, enough is enough. Now is the time to lift up our voices, but know your subject. As I look through Scripture, it says in the Psalms 20, verse 5, may we shout with joy over your victory. May we lift up our banner in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Now this I know, the Lord gives victory to his anointed. He gives victory to his anointed. Sometimes we don't feel very victorious, do we? No. Sometimes we feel as if we're at the end of the queue instead of at the beginning of the procession. Sometimes we think there's nothing to eat, yet God says, see, I lay a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Come and eat. There are things that we need to possess. There are things that we need to do. You look at the promises God gave his people. As you enter this land, it will be full of milk and honey and goodness. Ooh, they're big people. We surely can't do it. Caleb and Joshua says, yes, we can. Because my God is far bigger than their God. So which one are we? It's time for us to speak up. It's time for us to say, my God lives. And because he lives, I live also. The Lord gives victory. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. There's something we can miss there. The victorious power of his right hand. In Christ we have the victory. Not on our own. When we look through Scripture and we look at the demonic and there's seven sons of Sceva, they goes up to the demonic and tries to perform it in their own strength and they get beaten up. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Who are you? But when we as Christians understand that it's in his anointing, it's in his power that we have the victory. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. You see, when we look at the name of Jesus, it's the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It's the name of our Savior. It's the name that has already defeated death and sin. So when we speak, if we know what we're talking about, then we speak in his name through his power from the Holy Spirit that gives us utterance. So I believe we will be challenged in these next weeks, months and years ahead to know what we know and to say what God has called us to say. So I want us to be equipped to understand the subject. I'm not just talking about your Bible, but understand the subject in which you may have to give an account for. In Psalm 27 verse 6, then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. Now we look at this portion of scripture here. It could be that they come to the tent and they sacrifice, and then the shouts of joy, or the shouts of joy could be the sacrifice. That's what it says here, isn't it? It implies that sacrifice is the shouts of joy itself. That I will sing and make music to the Lord. I will put on a garment of praise, the Bible says, yes? Something that we need to put on is that garment of praise. We need to put it on. It's something we need to do. We need to shout to the Lord. There are times where we don't feel like shouting, but God encourages us by saying, yes, it might be a sacrifice. I remember hearing someone say, and I questioned it to start with until I got his heart. He said, you know, listen, if you come into church and you're feeling a bit worldly, listen, when you start to praise and worship, it's okay, start in the flesh, but end up in the spirit. Don't start in the spirit and end up in the flesh. That's the wrong way around. So as we come in, as those that lead us in worship, that's what they're doing. They're worshippers, so they're leading us in worship. And there'll be a time where we don't feel very joyous. But we can bring that sacrifice. It's time to shout. And if that shout is a shout of joy, that's a hallelujah. Yes? There are times where there was something that happened in my life to do with my daughter. And I remember standing out there in a someone who knew our circumstances come in, and I believe she said to Susan, how can he be so happy when he's just found out what he's found out? I can't remember the response, but I'm going to make it up. That's because there's joy in his heart. It's not the circumstances. I can rejoice and be glad in him, yes? It's time to shout. So wherever you are on your journey, well, I want to encourage you that now is the time to speak up. Now is the time to do your research. Now is the time to look at why you believe what you believe. To be able to articulate what's happening in the world because you know your subject. As we continue to look through scripture, I believe we will be encouraged. In Luke 18:39, it says, those who led the way rebuked him. Rebuked who? And told him to be quiet. Now, this is the blind man. Now, we're talking about a blind man who had heard that Jesus was passing by. Put yourself in that position. So the question is this. You have a need, and you know that Jesus can meet that need. But you need to get his attention. Do you A, send a telegram? B, WhatsApp him? C, a carrier pigeon? Or do you call out? You have one chance, don't you? You call out, Jesus, in a loud voice. Son of David, have mercy on me. And it's a realization that we can't do it. There's something in my life. There's been times, opportunities, circumstances and situations that are beyond me. I'm a fix-it person. If it needs fixing, I want to fix it. But there's things I can't do, so I call someone else. There's things that I want to do myself, but I can't, and I call someone else. There's things that the doctor cannot fix, so I call someone else. Who is that someone else? Glad you asked. Son of David, have mercy on me. Lord, I can't do this. There was a time in my life in my 30s where I came out of my door the bungalow that we've just sold, and I walked down the road and I shouted to God and I said, God, I cannot do this anymore. I cannot cope anymore. And do you know what he said to me? I'll tell you. I won't give you more than you can bear. How frustrating is that? You know, you're going, God, I can't do this anymore. And I was shouting. If anyone had heard me, they would have committed me. I cannot do this anymore. I've had enough. And God says, I won't give you more than you can bear. And I just stomped off. And here I am, knowing that it's true. Frustrating as it is. But there's a time to shout and there's a time to be silent. And there's a time for us to know what it is we're talking about. And I want to encourage us as a church, when we get into dialogue with people, whether it's about a social matter, whether it's about a situation that we don't want to talk about, whether it's just about our faith, know your subject before you speak, so that we can allow the Holy Spirit to move in us and through us. Now, we should know this portion of scripture in Esther. And it says, for if you remain silent this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will rise from another place. You know, God's not reliant upon us, is he? It's like, Andrew, if you don't go to church next week and preach, now everything's going to fall to bits. He'll get somebody else to do it. If I don't give, someone else will give. If I don't fast and pray, someone else will fast and pray. If I don't believe, someone else will believe. God's not determined on me. He knows the beginning from the end, doesn't he? Which is good. But there are times that God chooses us. He chooses us. He says, I've chosen you for such a time as this. Maybe this is why you're here today. Maybe this is why you're listening to this message. Maybe this is why you've walked with us for these 18 years, and there are at least 8 people in this room that have been with us for 18 years or more. Maybe this is the time. Maybe this is the reason God's called you to give, to sacrifice joy, to bring that offering, to understand what it is you believe and why you believe it, because God is going to bring people to you so that you can encourage them. As Esther was looking at what to say and how to say it, she was in this position whereby she didn't come out straight away with her petition to her husband. She said to him, I want you to come and eat. I want to put on this banquet. And he got to a position where he said, anything up to half of my kingdom. His heart was being softened. And there are times where we want to speak to other people. We want to speak to them about this social issue. We want to speak to them about our faith. And God says, yes, now. And then other times he says, no, wait. I want you to pray. I want you to soften their hearts. If you have a burning desire to evangelize to your community, can I suggest one of the ways to do that is to go and soften the ground with prayer. Just walk around the streets, just praying. Many years ago, Julian and I, we used to walk around the streets praying and talking. Nothing's wasted, is it? Nothing's wasted, because there's seeds that have been sown and there will be a time where they germinate. So there's time to be silent and there's a time to speak. Maybe this is the time that we speak. We speak to our neighbours, we speak to our friends. When we're given opportunity, we articulate what God has done in our lives. There's something that's been going on in my mind just recently, and I want to share it with you because hopefully it'll be useful. And it's to do with speaking. It's to do with speaking out. And I realise that I've assumed a lot of things when people talk to me. I assume that they know what they think I know about the subject they're asking me about. So I'll give you an illustration. So when someone says to me, are you religious? I could be thinking, am I religious? What do you mean by that question? So one of the things I start to do now is I start to ask a question. What do you mean by religious? Do you go to church every week? Yes. Because if we don't ask the question, if we don't speak up, we just make assumptions. When someone says, do you pray to God? Normally we would just say yes, but maybe we should ask a question. What do you mean by God? You see, when you look at Paul and you look at Peter, they would ask a question. And when they talked about God, when Peter talked about God, they knew it was Yahweh. They knew it was the creator of the universe. When Paul said God, they go, which God? We have thousands of deities. Which one are we talking about? So maybe on our journey, when we say it's time to speak up, know your subject. Ask questions. I'm on Matthew 10 here. Let me just move forward to Matthew 21, 25, where it says this. John's baptism, Jesus says. Where did it come from? Was it from heaven or from human origin? They discussed among themselves. This is the religious, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And said, if we say from heaven, he will ask, then why don't you believe him? But if we say from human origin, we are afraid of the people, for they will hold John to be a prophet. So Jesus answered. So they answered Jesus, we don't know. Then he said, well, neither will I tell you what authority I am doing these things. You see, there are times where we need to ask a question. And by asking the question, we will find out the true intent behind the questioner. So when someone asks you a question, do you believe in God? Do you pray? Are you a Christian? Are you born again? Whatever the question may be, ask a question. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by prayer? What do you mean by religious? What do you mean by the things that you are saying? So as we ask the question, we get the true intent of the questioner. Because there is a deceptive spirit out there that will try and trick us by saying something that we think we know what they're talking about, but they're talking about something completely different. So as we look at this message, taking back what the enemy has stolen, I want us to have an understanding of, yes, it's time to speak. It's time to speak out about who we are and what we believe, but know your subject. When we're asked questions on social matters, know your subject. And you will be asked, as soon as people find out you're a Christian, they'll ask you the really easy questions. What do you think about homosexuality? What do you think about gender? How many genders are there? But if we don't know our subject, we can't answer. Because when we answer, we're to answer in love, seasoned by salt, but we're to be honest and truthful. But we need to ask the question of the questioner, so we know their intent. What do you mean by gender? I don't like to talk about these subjects in a political sense because I go off script. In Matthew 10:27, what I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both the body and the soul in hell. Don't be afraid of man, be afraid of God. Have a healthy fear of God. Jesus is saying, you know, what I tell you in the quiet places, what I tell you in the private places, there's a time coming where you're going to speak it in the public places. And that's the same for you and me. We may have been in the private spaces for years and years, but there's a time, and I believe it's already here, where the persecution of the church is greater in the West than it ever has been. In the persecuted church around the world, it is growing exponentially. Millions of people are coming to faith, but they're not allowed to proclaim their faith the way we are. They don't have the freedom that we have to celebrate. But the time is coming where Christians are being quietened, don't talk about Jesus because you'll upset people. Don't talk about these issues because you'll be called a name. It's time to speak out, but know your subject. Know who it is you're talking about. Know what it is you're trying to defend. God will give us the answer. He's already spoken to us in the quiet place. He's already given us his word. John 17:15. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world. We're talking about the disciples. We're his disciples, yes? Even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. You see, God's word is truth. And if we speak his word, and it comes from a good heart, and it's spoken in the context that God meant it to be spoken, it will produce a harvest. We don't need to be afraid. But now is the time to speak, but know your subject. Let's take back what the enemy has stolen from us. He's stolen our voices, I believe. He's stolen the voice of the church. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open up a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains, Paul says. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. When we read scripture, sometimes we can miss these little verses here because they're not the big powerful ones. They're not the ones we hang our hat on when we're trying to bring a message which will bring fresh revelation. Well, there is no fresh revelation. The revelation has already been given us. Be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Be prepared, in other words. Be prepared to give an answer, God says. But know your subject. Know your subject. And it's okay to say to individuals, if you struggle with an answer to a question, I'll come back to you on that one. In James 3, verse 5, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body. And we know this portion of scripture. There are people in this room and people outside and people we know who have been traumatized by what someone has said. One word, one sentence. I remember my school teacher, I wasn't traumatized by this, I just chuckle. My school teacher saying, Andrew, one of two things is going to happen to you. You're either going to be in prison or you're going to be a millionaire. Well, my father owns the riches of the world, so that makes me a millionaire. So he was right in his prophecy, wasn't he? I was in prison as well, but Jesus saved me. He broke the chains of sin that imprisoned me. You see, when people say things, we can either allow them to percolate and destroy us, or we can shake them off, stamp on them, and use that very circumstance to get out of the hole that the enemy tries to put us in. You see, words are powerful. That's why we should tame the tongue. Like I said, I still struggle because I just want to give a response all the time without having the wisdom to say, when do I speak? And you know, there are times in our lives as we speak to people, we're wondering, what do I say to this individual? And yet all we need to do is listen to what they're saying, because they're answering their own questions so often. So I want us to have wisdom and discernment. I want us to have grace seasoned with salt. I don't want us to be a judgmental people, because God's the one who judges, isn't he? I want us to be a church that will have an answer to a question, that will have wisdom to know when to be silent. But I believe there's going to be a time, and it's coming soon, where we will need to speak up and to speak out. In Ephesians 4, verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. I'll read that again. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is... Can you see why some people don't like coming to church? Because it's confrontational, isn't it? God's word is confrontational. So we can miss this scripture out because it's kind of like putting us on the spot. Or we can bring it in and say, Lord, use it to encourage me. Listen, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. What do they need? What do they need? You know, I have a member of my family who is openly gay, and she doesn't need me to say, you stinking rotten sinner, you're going to hell, does she? She needs me to live out the love of Christ. But if she asks me a question, I'll answer it truthfully. If she wants to know my opinion on what God says, I'll answer her truthfully. I'll answer her gracefully, seasoned with salt. I'll let God's word do the work. You see, according to their needs. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. This is for the church, right? Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. You know, one of the times of my rant where I call out to God is, why should I forgive them? Because I forgave you. Yeah, but why else should I forgive them? Because I forgave you. See, God's word is powerful. If we're going to speak up, we need to know the entirety of his word, not just small bits. In 1 Thessalonians 5:8, it says this, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate. Faith and love, putting on faith. You know, faith is not just this blind thing that I have faith. What do you have faith in? I don't know, but I have it. You know, we have faith in what God has done. We have faith in what God has said. We have faith in what the Holy Spirit quickens to our hearts. We have faith in what God enabled men to write down through the inspiring of the Holy Spirit. We understand doctrine, don't we? We have faith in what God has said. We have faith in what he has done, and we have faith in what he is going to do. We have faith that he came, and we have faith that he's coming back. That's not just blind faith, is it? We have faith in what has already been done, but it's time for us to speak that out. Because so often someone says, what do you believe? Oh, because I have faith. Yeah, but what's that? Ask the question. When you say to me, why do you believe? What do you mean by that? Well, why do you believe what you believe? Well, what is it you, bear with me, what is it you believe that I believe? Well, I believe you believe in God. Which God? Well, the God of the Bible. Ah, right, now I can have a conversation. Because if we don't ask the questions, we won't know the motive behind the question. So I want to encourage us that when we speak up, be wise about what we say and what we don't say. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, alive or dead, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. We are doing that by being here collective. As we worship, as we sing, when our worship team prepares something, they're collectively preparing something for us. Not just for them, because they can worship at home. Or if you're like me, you can worship in the car and people are looking at you going, what's wrong with that man? Just don't close your eyes while you're doing it. But we're there to encourage one another. We come to church not just to pay our offering of praise and finances, and not just to have coffee and cake that Emma has brought for afterwards, but so that we can mutually encourage each other. One of the challenges I had by listening to another minister was, don't go to church going, what can I get? Go to church saying, what can I give? I bring a sacrifice of praise. I bring my offering. I bring my best wishes to those that are struggling. I bring my compassion to those that need it. Now is the time to talk, but know your subject. Ephesians 3:7. There's a time to be silent and there's a time to speak. Discern which one it is. Matthew 10:27. The same scripture I read earlier. God has spoken to us as we read scripture. So often we're on our own. He speaks to us in our lonely place. He speaks to us in our closet. He speaks to us when we're in our lunch break as we're reading our Bible. He speaks to us. And what he said in that lonely place, what he said in that isolated place, what he says in the darkness, what he's whispered in your ear, do not be afraid to speak it in the open, but know your subject. And I will finish with this portion of scripture where Jesus gives us a blueprint on how to be wise. These are not just my thoughts These are not just my words, but when we look through scripture, we should be able to see a thread that any minister uses, and it needs to start with Jesus and end with Jesus and be in the middle with Jesus. It needs to be scriptural. Jesus, John's baptism, they were questioning Jesus and they were trying to trip him up because they already had in mind what they thought the answer should be. They're there to trick him, and there are people going to try and trick you by asking you a question. So can I finish with encouraging us as a church? Yes, there is a time for us to speak. There's a time to shout. There's a time to say, enough is enough, the walls are coming down. There's a time where God will say, now I want you to speak to that individual. Now I want you to testify to that family member. Now I want you to go into that circumstance. I want you to go into the lion's den. You will not be consumed. Now is the time to be silent. Now is the time to speak. Jesus was always, people were always trying to trip Jesus up. There was always the woman caught in adultery. In that day, the man and the woman would have been stoned. The question should have been, where's the man? Yeah? This is woman we caught in the act of adultery. The question should have been, by Jesus, where's the man? But they did it to trap him. And what he did was he bent down, and we know the story. He was writing on the ground. What he wrote, we do not know. But he said this, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. And scripture tells us that they started to leave, starting with the eldest, because the eldest knew that they'd sinned the most. They'd lived longest. They had more opportunity to get it wrong. And then looking at the woman, he says, where are your accusers? She says, they've gone. Well, he said, well, neither do I accuse you. But then he said something very, very important. Go and sin no more. You see, it may seem that Jesus was being soft on sin, but he wasn't. He asked a question with a question. He understood their motives. So he took time and he was patient on what he said and how he said it. And then he said to the individual that was caught in the act, go and sin no more. See, God is a gracious God, and that's how he wants us to be. So let's close in prayer, and we ask our worship team to come and lead us in a final hymn. And Father, we thank you that you are for us, and if you are for us, then who can be against us? Father, give us wisdom to know when to be silent and when to speak out. Lord, give us wisdom to know when to shout and when to say enough is enough. Let's go into the enemy's camp and take back what he's stolen from us. Let today be the day that we get our voice back. Lord, the church has been silent for too long. Let us be a people that will speak out with wisdom, discernment, with understanding, with courage, with the saltiness that comes from the word, but with compassion. That, Father God, that we may lead others to you. May we be wise, Lord, in how we answer people. Lord, give us the ability to see behind the question and ask the questioner a question to find out the motive, that we may be strong individuals as we walk through this narrow pathway. We ask this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen. Amen.